Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us for part two of my two-part interview for this time with John Meacham, a good friend of our ministry, who has been explaining to us about some of his encounters with the Lord as he has a special anointing upon him to prepare the world with the message that Jesus is returning soon. And in this interview, we've been talking about how Jesus just came upon him and endued him with the power to and anointed him to sing like never before at the Amity Church in North Carolina. And we're going to jump right back into the conclusion of this interview now with John Meacham.
So, you know, here's the dogwood tree again. And the dogwood tree is significant. You know, when I passed it was when Jesus indwelled me.
Amen.
Now, you'll hear about this later when we get to the divine revelation and chapter in the book titled Christ in Galilee, because as I'm driving down Highway 92, searching for the earth and stone stage, looking for the spotlights or a sign from this same Franklin's Park, Jesus does the same thing that he did this day. He indwells me. And I start shaking, and I get all nervous, and I pull off the side of the road onto one of the onlooks onto the Sea of Galilee, and I remind myself, John, this has happened before. It's 2005 then. It happened 20 years before in 1985. But Pastor Bob, you know, one of my favorite sayings that I'm waiting for the book to put this in, most days we never remember. Yeah. Some days we never forget.
That's right. Amen.
This was one of those days I never forget. And that same, when it repeated itself, this indwelling, I had to remind myself when I started shaking and feeling all this, it's happened before. You know, God had prepared me and is preparing me as he's prepared you, as he prepares lots of people. He's always preparing us for the task that he has for us to perform. So when I went to Galilee, and I was indwelled with Jesus for those 9 days that I was in Galilee to do that book, I knew I'd experienced it before.
Amen.
Probably the most important part of this revelation for me is my call passage. You know, my realization passage is John 21:22, where Jesus says to Peter, if I want him to live until I come, what is that to you? But that kind of just tells me this is the role you have to play. You're going to have to be John waiting for Jesus. Whether he comes or not, you still have to do it. I mean,
right.
Whether I want to do it or not, this is still my job to do until 9/19/22. What happens that day is up to God, but I've got to do my part before then.
Amen.
But my work pretty much evolves out of this Revelation 19:11-16. This is, you know, right after I was born again, the Lord led me to this passage immediately. It's the screensaver on my computer as I began the day today. I got my first cup of coffee, got ready to do my devotion, turned it on, and there I'm looking at this passage on my computer screen, and I've gotten good at way too many technology stuff, but I've gotten good at writing on pictures. So I wrote this passage, Revelation 19:11-16, on the earth and stone stage. So I begin each day looking for that revelation that Jesus is going to come again.
Okay.
Every time I go to my computer, turn it on, there it is.
Constant reminder.
Constant reminder. I can't get away from it.
Yep.
As much as I'd love to, I can't get away from it. And the lines in that thing just remind me of different aspects of this work I have to do over and over again. But I know it was long what I read, but I can't escape that passage. And I won't get into the details of it, but the part of it that's always bothered me the most is the furious anger of the Almighty God. Mm. God has to be, I don't even know the right word to use, furiously angry about the state of the Christian church and Christianity in this country. And you know that Jesus sings at Amity Church. You know, we talked about when the dazzling light experience, I was so upset. You know, I said, what's wrong here? Ezekiel, when he saw this, it went into the temple and he got to be involved in all that. Mm-hmm. He, you know, but here when it's happening to me, the dazzling light didn't go into Amity Church, which was less than a half a mile away. I was an elder. You know, as we've talked about, I was developing the AIM program. I was the church treasurer. I had a key to the building, and I could have just walked up there and unlocked the door, and the light would have gone in. But it waited for the experience not to be me seeing the dazzling light alone, but Jesus himself coming into Amity Church and singing, a pastor recognizing him, the people around him getting thrilled with what had happened. And, you know, when we draw back and look at the experience, and we, you know, we keep searching for the signs the Lord's sending us, the word amity means friend.
Amen.
So Jesus is trying to tell his friend, I'm trying to rescue you from what's going on. And I don't know if you remember me telling you, the man, the minister, the former, my childhood minister, that helped me through all of the stuff with the dazzling light when it happened just a few years before this, was Fred Stare. He was working two stories above me, and I would go see him each day. Did you notice the name of the minister today? Fred Holbrook. Yeah. Another Fred. Yeah. I think I've counted them up. I've had four or five Freds as pastors over the years. But again, the Lord's confirming with me, this is from another pastor named Fred. He really heard Jesus sing.
Amen. Amen.
Not just me in a different voice. He heard Jesus and the people around me. They experienced Jesus. Mm. And what I wanted us to do today, if you don't mind, is, okay, if Jesus sang this hymn, the words of this hymn must be important.
Yeah, amen.
Now, the hymn's Eternal God Whose Power Upholds. It was written by Henry Tweedy in 1929. And, you know, that's kind of significant of itself. It must have been written before October, because you remember what happened in this country in October of 1929 was the Great Depression.
That's right, yeah.
So the country's in an unusual state, but still, the words to this hymn, every time I read them, they hearken back to times long before that. Eternal God, whose power upholds both flower and flaming star, to whom there is no here nor there, no time, no near nor far, no alien race, no foreign shore, no child unsought, unknown. O send us forth thy prophets true to make all lands thine own. Hmm. You know, my working definition of a prophet is someone who conveys a message from a divine source.
That's right.
So in my working definition of a prophet, every preacher and every pulpit, every Sunday, if they're doing their job, they are sharing a message from a divine source, through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, from God, what or whichever, but it's not their message. It's, you know, when I used to get up and preach every Sunday, the last thing I'd say is, don't let this be me, Jesus Christ, let this be you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
Pastor Bob, how would you evaluate the state of Christianity, church pastors and all in this country, with our pastors getting into the pulpit each Sunday projecting a message from a divine source?
There's a few, but I would say for the most part, they're projecting their own desires, I guess.
Why would that be?
Because they're not in tune. Now, you know, they'll obviously disagree with this statement, but they're just not in tune with the Word of God and what's happening in the world today. Because if they were, there'd be more, as we've talked about numerous times, there'd be more worry about people going to hell than there is worrying about how much is in the coffers.
Oh, gosh. the state of the current church today is, we'll show you how to give online.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You know,
the reason is that way, if you're not here, you can still give.
So. You know, I preparing is a wondrous thing, and I cannot tell you how much I appreciate your doing these interviews and how wonderful it is for me to prepare. And in preparing for today, I did not have the thought I just had. So I wanted to share that with you, because when I was preaching, if I got a thought that didn't come during my days and times, hours of preparation, I'd say, that's from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So I want to tell you that this is one of those aha moments.
Yep.
I'll never forget I was actually conducting the Bible study from the AIM program at another church that was doing AIM some years later. And we were studying John chapter 3, which is year 2 in AIM. And we got to the part about being born again. And my pastor, who had come to the class with other people, you know what he said? He said, I don't know what that means. I've never been born again.
Oh, wow. Sound like Nicodemus.
Yeah, but Nicodemus was born again. After that experience, remember what we talked about. Nicodemus spoke up for Jesus. He helped Joseph of Arimathea carry Jesus' body from the cross to the grave. But this guy, I've seen and talked to him over the years, and when we stay in touch, he's never been born again. Mm. How many preachers, how many pastors, how many prophets, supposed prophets, delivering divine messages, climb into the pulpit each Sunday, have never been born again?
Yeah, really. That's true. Amen.
You know, so they can't even help it. It's like, you know, we've talked last time about Paul's message. Is your mind controlled by your human nature or your spiritual nature? If you're not born again, how can your mind be controlled by your spiritual nature?
Yeah, and like I said, that's part of the problem with a lot of ministries today is, you know, they'll have their message prepared. Sometimes it's from denominations. Here, you're preaching on this for this.
They're using the lectionary a lot, and I used the lectionary for a year. It was a good discipline. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
They don't have the words, but they give them the Bible passages they have to preach from.
They have to preach from,
Yes.
I mean, I've done, you know, there's been numerous times when I've had a you know, my sermon prep, I'm going to go preach at a church, and I know, you know, my topic, got my outline. I get up there and I say, today we're going to talk about this. And 3 minutes later, we are off on a Holy Spirit rabbit trail.
And
I never come back to the
notes.
Oh, those are the best sermons. Those are the best sermons.
It's just wonderful. I mean, but do these people do that anymore?
Not very often.
You know, I just had another thought that I hadn't even thought of. You know how you always talk about where the services where they turn down the lights down low and they turn the music up loud?
Yep, that's it.
There's a local group here, the group that threw me out, the group that said, because I say I'm John and the dazzling light and all, you can't come back there. The guy I told you, I saw the guy that threw me out a week or so ago at Walmart, shopping for groceries. They send the same sermon to all, I think it's 14 locations now. Mm-hmm. All 14 pastors get the same screens and the same message from the guy that's in control of the same group.
Mm.
There's no room for spiritual interpretation. Yeah. They're preaching the exact same message that's reinforcing this behavior that...
Yeah.
I'm not going to comment on that because I don't want to go too deep because I don't know them enough about them, but they can't... There's no room for the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's the problem today.
It's all orchestrated to end up with a point where you go get your communion, and you know what you do after you get your communion?
Give your offering.
They're up in the corner of the room? Right. You leave money in the bucket.
That's it.
Isn't that terrible?
Yep. And then they wonder why the spiritual condition of this nation is as bad as it is.
Exactly. Verse 2, O God of love, whose spirit wakes in every human breast, whom love and love alone can know, in whom all hearts find rest. Help us to spread thy gracious reign till greed and hate shall cease, and kindness dwell in human hearts, and all the earth find peace. Pastor Bob, what is the influence of greed and hate in our lives today?
That's the basic outline of society. I mean, it's everywhere.
You know, isn't
from
that horrible?
Commercial on TV to your local pastor.
You know, I try to avoid political stuff, but, you know, like I told you, I'm always watching the news trying to see what's happening and what the trends are. There's no question that President Trump has divided the nation.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I do on MSN, like I told you about, they have these little questions. And you know, they'll ask the question I really got this on was, do you think President Trump is right about the wall, or he did think the wall's just a hoax? This was last year sometime. Pastor Bob, 50% said he's right, 50% said it's a hoax.
Yep.
We are totally divided, and what divides us is this greed and hate. I mean, the greed, I don't even think we see it anymore. I think it's so deep in control of us that Satan has us by the whatevers, and
mm-hmm.
I don't even think we realize how much we're influenced by greed. But the hate, and, you know, we're becoming such a divided nation. I used to say we were never this divided. The only time I could remember us being this divided was when Kennedy and Nixon ran against each other, and I was in the third grade, you know, and all the little third graders, we had to line up. Are you for Kennedy or are you for Nixon? Of course, we just both did what our parents said, but still, we were totally divided.
Yeah.
But it's more than that. Now, I'm not sure we've been this divided since the Civil War.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of scholars say the same thing. Actually, we are more divided now than they were in the Civil War.
Now, oh, that's scary. That is terrifying.
Yep.
That is absolutely terrifying. But we are.
We are.
And we're totally unwilling to listen to the other person's point of view.
Yeah, the only point of view that matters is that person's.
Well, and you know, and I don't know if I've talked to you about this, but if I haven't, I don't know why, because I can't stop talking about this particular thing. Smartphones
mm-hmm.
are a big influence on that. Because we have a smartphone,
right.
we can get and read, hear, see, touch, whatever we want to.
Yeah.
We don't have to interact with other people. We don't have to interact with the newspaper. We don't have to interact with the world. We just pull out our smartphone and do the things we like to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, social media sounds good, but we are actually more isolated now because of social media.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we're isolated unto ourselves.
Yep.
Verse 3, O God of truth, whom science seeks and reverent souls adore, who lightest every earnest mind of every clime and shore, dispel the gloom of error's night, of ignorance and fear, until true wisdom from above makes life's pathway clear. This is the one where I always go back to what you and I have said. Are we going to live, am I going to live God's way or my way?
Exactly.
Am I going to have the clear path that God's laid out for me and do my very best to stay on it until I fall into sin again? Or am I going to wake up every morning and rather than having devotions, I'm going to decide what I want to do to make myself happy that day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, that's the ultimate choice we have, is God's way or my way. How many people do you think in Christianity, if it was a percentage, what percentage of Christians in this country would you say make a conscious effort to pursue God's way in their life every day?
Oh, gosh.
Just a guess.
I'm going to say 10%.
I don't even think it'd be that many.
Yeah, it's not.
You know the pastor that I told you about that's never been born again?
Mm-hmm.
When I was doing that study, I talked about all these things that happened during devotions. He said, I've never done that. And mm-hmm. some years later, he told me, you know, after that meeting, I started going to church early each day, going to his job, and rather than going to my office and start working, I go into the sanctuary every day now. I pull scripture out. I have a time of meditation, of Bible study, and of prayer.
Amen.
He said it's changed everything.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. Got about 4 or 5 minutes left.
Okay. Let's go to verse 5. O God of righteousness and grace, seen in the Christ thy Son, whose life and death reveal thy face, by whom thy will was done, inspire thy heralds of good news to live thy life divine, till Christ is formed in all mankind and every land is thine.
Mm. Amen.
You know, we talked about when I was in Galilee, well, the message I got coming back from Galilee to Christians and the Christian churches, and it's in this book, I've written about it here, from the book Is This Church Heavenly, is wake up, repent, open your doors to Jesus Christ, be faithful and true to God, strive for spiritual riches, live with enthusiasm for Christ, seek the lost for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen to the 90% of Christians that don't do anything if they would live that as their life path? Wake up, repent, open my heart to Jesus, be faithful to God. I'm striving for spiritual riches. I'm living with enthusiasm for Christ, and I'm seeking the lost. What would happen to Christianity in this country if 50% of the Christians started living that way?
Well, for one, more people would be in church, you know, instead of it football games and bars and everything else. But two, they'd start to realize the blessing that you get when you do it God's way out of love rather than trying to do God's way out of greed.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. You just solved an unknown mystery for me. And if I hadn't said this, I should have. We're trying to live both.
Mm-hmm.
In this Christians in this country, but Christianity isn't either or. It's either God's way or my way.
Yeah,
it's not both.
A lot of these ministries
it's either
today,
money or God. It's not
yeah.
both.
Yeah, a lot of these ministries today they push. Oh, you know, we'll just use tithing as an example. If you tithe, then you're blessed, and your finances will be blessed, and you live a lot better life.
Yeah. There's nothing in Scripture that says that's in the New Testament that says that's going to happen.
Well, not just that, but that's the wrong motivation.
Exactly. This is not for me. I mean, the part we skipped over that I didn't do was the Joel Osteen part of today's message. Everything he writes and does as a prosperity, the head of the prosperity gospel, is focused on me, me, me. You, mm-hmm. you. Make a better life for yourself.
Yep.
What Jesus Christ intended for us to do.
Well, the only better life we need to make is our spiritual life.
Amen. Born again into the kingdom of God and now.
Yep.
Start living a heavenly life today.
Amen. 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 John, we're about out of time. Do you got any last thoughts?
Yeah, I'd like to close with just the last little bit from this chapter.
Okay.
Since the early days of Peter and Paul, the church has been directed by its anticipation of Jesus' second coming and maintained by its preparation of his followers to meet Jesus face to face in heaven. In light of these church traditions, I ask every Peter and every Paul who call themselves a true prophet of Christ, is your congregation ready for Jesus' second coming?
Amen.
And to every Mary Magdalene and to every John who call themselves a Christian, I ask, are you ready to meet Jesus face to face in heaven? And today, Pastor Bob, I would ask you, are we ready as Christians in the Christian church, are we ready for Jesus' second coming?
I have to say, honestly, this nation and Christians worldwide, for the most part, are not ready. And they'll be part of that group that, you know, will end up turning against Jesus and fighting against him because they don't want all this stuff to end. I mean, when Jesus comes back and, you know, all hell breaks loose on this earth, who do you think all the non-believers are going to blame? It's his fault.
I don't know. I haven't even thought about that.
It's his fault.
That's a good question.
So if we go and fight against him, then we can go ahead and, you know, this, you know, just like it was in biblical days, you know. It's better for one to die and everybody, you know. So, I mean, it's...
What I studied this morning mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah. Nobody lived there.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Ooh.
I learned something this morning about Sodom and Gomorrah. It'll be for a different topic on a different day, the whole world comes against Jesus, and he defeats them with a word.
Right. The word. He is the word. Well,
exactly,
I know we're running out of time.
Yeah,
just wanted
are.
To thank you
Amen.
Again for another interview with the Divine Revelation. This was Jesus Things at Amity, and our next session will be Dreams of Jesus' Second Coming.
Amen. Amen. John, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Always best to go to my website, dazzlinglight.org. There's tons of stuff there. I've got interviews from you there. I got YouTubes. I got lots and lots of words, pictures. I also got my email address there. So,
Amen.
You know, email me for the free book, or if you have questions or want to start a conversation, just email me and we can go from there.
Amen. Folks, you need to get in touch with John. This offer of his free book, you know, there's limited quantities available, so first come, first serve. You know, if you're listening to this 2-3 years from now, there might not be any left, but you still need to reach out and find out anyway. John, again, I thank you for taking the time to come on the program today. Man, every time you come on, it seems like we just get deeper and deeper revelation about just not just how screwed up this world is, but how close we are to having all this wrap up.
Amen.
Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For John Meach and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.